All right. Let's get her going here on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandale, Jen Rolnick today. And for two jam-packed hours. What a week it's been.
Great week. Not enough games, but what a hockey game last night was.
Well, especially when we've got the Leaf hour of our show all week, just one game, but like things around the game, like there's never been more storylines for one game the whole week.
Is Marner just going to sign a contract by surprise this week?
There is.
Do you think they made an offer to him?
Oh my gosh. You're doing it again. You did this to me Monday.
Do you think they have?
We don't talk about what we discuss, right? We let it just rip the moment the red light goes on.
And then you're like, I had no intention of asking that, but
you did this to me Monday.
I had this thought. I talked to someone today and I was like, there's all this like noise around it. Yes. Maybe they're talking, maybe it'll just happen.
I think there's always a possibility of that happening.
Yeah.
But
all right.
Like you're not doing this.
No, I'm not.
Although to be fair, I did write my article this week
at
the Toronto Star. It was based on our original unscripted heated discussion on Monday on Mitch Marner. So if you want to grab it, take a look at it.
It's great, by the way.
Well,
not just saying that, it's a very good article.
Well, it's Sammy liked it because I mentioned his name.
I like that you mentioned it along with like four randos from the internet. So that's who he has you on par with.
Yeah, that was kind of fun to do.
Yeah, you know, my mom sees my name in the Toronto Star. It's pretty cool, I guess.
Yes.
But then it's with, what did you say the other guy's name was?
I forgot. Pluto Dog 69, Pluto I think.
War Dog and Pluto Boy were just hammer me all week on the internet. And I'm like, all right, you guys want the action? I'm putting you in my article today.
There you go.
Before I muted the tweet that we had on Monday.
Oh, I muted it too.
Because it was pouring in there for a while. And finally, after 3 days of people yelling at each other about it, I muted it. But I do think that it's a pretty divided topic in terms of, that's why it's a really great sports radio topic, is because people agree with Kip, people agree with Bourne, people agree with me. Like, it's just like, it's a meeting of toxicity.
Yeah, sure. Right? Good word. Yeah.
And if, you know, if Mitch wants to go in one way or another, like all these conversations could be irrelevant.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, whenever the signing does happen, and we're hoping as people who cover the Leafs that it is a signing here, it's going to be somewhere in the ballpark of the numbers we're talking about. And I think people will be happy to have
them. Well, wherever you are watching, listening, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus, we're glad you're along for our Leaf Hour. And then we go national, of course. And in the national hour, we'll welcome in Dana Sinclair, JB. And this is relevant because there's maybe some news out of Elliot Friedman in his 32 thoughts, I believe, about JT Miller.
Yeah.
Possibly suffering from burnout.
Yeah. Burnout was the word that he used. Frank Saravalli vaguely referenced that as well. You know, we had Thatcher Demko. We heard him talking about the mental grind of trying to stay prepared to play. And, you know, Dana's done work with a laundry list of NHL, NBA, MLB, NFL teams and on. So she'll give us some insight into the mental side of being a professional athlete.
And then at 5:30, we're going to welcome in a good friend of the show. Always been terrific insights, Hockey Night in Canada, Sports Night, Gary Galley.
That'd be great. And full show.
And
Jen said to me, our, you know, wonderful TV production woman, she said to me today, she's like, did you have him on because Kipper, like, talked about how he hit him?
Yeah.
And I was like, I completely forgot about that.
Let's not bring that up. Let's see. Hopefully, like, he never watched
like,
the show.
He's like, I felt bad. I was like, I didn't even think of that. I just have him on because he's a great, and we have him on once a month
or so.
Well,
nothing's changed.
I know. And he said yes, I mean, and he was happy to come on. So anyways.
Galley's aware of what happened.
Yes. Is he? No, he's not. He doesn't watch our show.
Well, I don't know about the apology, but he's aware that you hit him, and he came on cordially for years.
I don't know. But I still feel horrible about it. I'm just going to be in a puddle. It's like, yeah, that bothered me for 28 years. Finally, I get to tell you, you're an ass.
I'm gonna Homer Simpson into the bushes for that one.
Okay, Leaf fans are waiting.
Yes, I know.
3-0 win last night over one of those contending teams for the Stanley Cup.
Best game of the year,
Vegas Golden Knights. Their third straight win. Wall makes 31 saves. Minton scores. Bob's your uncle. Leafs are on a roll.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, the action was high. You know, the physical element was sort of like that underlying storyline. The rookies being up and being involved was a big part of it. Joseph Woll gets a shutout. That was a big theme. You know, probably the bigger picture takeaway is Knies. But, I mean, I guess they get a shutout with six of their top 12 forwards out.
Yeah.
You know, pretty impressive performance all around.
Yeah, favorite game of the year.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, you know, you take the Tampa game that we talked about for 3 weeks down off the pedestal.
Yeah.
And you put this one in here, I think the shiny new toy factor is definitely part of it, where it's just a really fun game, where Minton scores his first goal of his career. It ends up being the winner. You know, you have Grabankin running around, you have fights, you have big hits, you have debate. Everything about it, to me, was just the best game of the year. Also, Joseph Woll made me look like the biggest idiot of all time. Doing sports talk radio is so hard because, you know, you have a take and it's like 6 hours later, you're immediately the biggest idiot on earth.
I've told you plenty of times.
Yeah.
You don't need Joseph Wall's help. Okay, you do that all by
fair,
take full credit.
Fair.
No, but fair. Hold on. You didn't come on here and say you think Wall's a bad goalie or he's going to play bad.
No, I didn't say that.
You just said it's a top team. Put your top goalie in.
I did say that.
Yeah.
That's what you said.
And they may have.
No.
He looked pretty good.
Man, this guy rides the roller coaster, doesn't he?
Okay, so we could take this many different ways. Yes. We've got some Kippers Clippers, a ton of them out of Coach Berube. You want to start with the kids. You want to start with Joseph Woll. You want to get into the hit.
I think we start positive. You know, it's a good night, I think.
Yeah.
And before we get into the hit, let's talk about the kids. Fraser Minton scoring a goal. I thought two really impressive back checks on rushes against.
Yeah. On the penalty, on the power play.
One on the, that one. And then there's another one where the puck doesn't come to his guy because he gets back and covers him. So I thought he was wonderful. Grabankin plays with a joy, too. That's fun to watch.
Yeah, I thought we had a pretty good conversation yesterday on the kids and on the chance that they could come in and provide something that could perhaps change the way you might feel towards February and March in a trade deadline. And we didn't say it's impossible to think that they could turn themselves into, we just said it might not be probable. But did anything last night change your mind in terms of what Minton can do for the center ice position for the Maple Leafs?
Yes, absolutely. You know, like I maintain the stance I took yesterday that when you're talking about playing the best teams in the postseason, I don't love the idea of looking at a rookie and saying, you're the guy who's going to be our guy at the deadline. They're already talking. Elliot also mentioned 32 thoughts that the Leafs would be looking at centers.
Yes.
So that's in play here too. But I do think the way Minton looked both ways was really eye-opening and very mature was a pretty common word. And then my other thought is if you need a winger on the fourth line just to run into people, Grabankin will do it.
Yeah, I would imagine watching Grabankin play last night wasn't Ryan Reeves' favorite thing from the press box. Like, where
not another one.
You know, it's a young guy that comes in there. He's a big guy, skating hard, running into people. I mean, he's not the prettiest skater, let's all say it.
He looks like if Mark Stone pulled his hamstring when he's skating.
It's not the prettiest stride, I would say. But he's big, strong, runs into people, seemingly not afraid.
Having a blast.
It's just, anyways, go ahead, Pip.
Okay, let's go to Craig Berube with our first Kippers Clipper of the day on Minton and Grabankin.
Yeah, I thought they were good. I mean, Minton scored, I get that. But, you know, I thought both players were pretty solid out there. Minton's a very smart player. He's a real good two-way guy and very reliable defensively and in the right spots. And I thought Grabankin battled hard. He was physical, did what he had to do, you know, like strong on pucks down low, finishing checks, all the things that I thought he was going to do.
Oh, what do you got there?
That to me, when I'm hearing that, like putting guys in there and having them do what you expect them to do at that age, if you're the coach, you're like, yeah, okay. Like, I can see where these guys are going to be a contributor for me throughout this season. Like,
Grabankin led the team in hits last night with four.
Do we have him? Did you clip him?
I did clip him. I did clip him. This was Grabankin after the game. Clip from him there, Derek.
Team speak me back check, forward check, and paycheck. You
know? But yeah, I love his laugh because it's almost as obnoxious as mine.
I hear like you, man.
If he was my teammate, I would hang with him all day just to try to make him laugh.
Yeah, just.
I said on Leafs Talk last night that was a rather big win, and I could picture them going to an establishment with Grabankin and having some fun last night.
Yeah.
Getting him laughing a little bit, having some fun.
Yeah, because
he seems like a great guy to be around, doesn't he?
He does.
He'd be the worst leader on any team.
Yeah.
Grabbing a young kid, take him to a bar. Let's go have fun.
My God.
Let's get him.
Kipper, what are you
drunk?
Like, what are you,
you're no leader.
Come on, Sammy.
It's a shame.
You tell him to go straight home to bed. Right.
This is embarrassing.
What would
guys?
Mark Messier have
this
done?
This is embarrassing.
Minton played almost 16 minutes last
night.
Well,
that with Nyes out of the game,
yeah.
He stepped right up. And
my first thought was, has Robertson ever?
No. No, listen, Nick, you got to get it out of your heads that Nick's.
That's just not even
there for a chance to still be a part. Like, Nick's done a wonderful job, but it will never work here. He just has to look at last night how many guys are ahead of him. Minton now would be ahead of him.
Grabankin, Steves.
Right?
Holmberg.
So he's not going to be envisioned in the top six. And the kids that Sammy just mentioned will beat him out on the bottom six. There's just no room other than hopefully there's a package somewhere and you can move them on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the writing's on the wall.
I do too.
If they weren't missing six forwards, I think he probably wouldn't be playing. You know, I think it's fair to say.
They're missing six guys. This guy can't get in the top six.
Give him a look-see.
It's great.
No look-sees for him.
No look-sees.
They've looked and seen
enough. Where do you want to go?
All right.
Let's get to the hit.
No. Wait, one more, because if we're going to stay positive like you want to, the most impressive thing for me last night was going into the third period with the lead and absolutely giving Vegas squat. So let's listen to Craig Berube on the composure that they had with the lead.
Clip 8.
How happy are you with the composure your team is showing in the third period of close games?
Yeah, very happy. I think, you know, there's games where we got the lead in the third, we kind of sit back a little bit. But tonight was, I thought, our best third with the lead. We didn't sit back. And that's what we want to keep pushing and keep doing because, you know, we don't want to just get pucks out and try to get a change. You know what I mean? We want to advance it, play the game, keep being aggressive, and we did that. Drew a penalty, and power play did a great job of, scoring a goal there. That was a huge goal. So I thought tonight was maybe our best third period with the lead.
They didn't take their foot off the pedal.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, we'd see them hold on or cough up the lead.
Yeah.
And that was not in their vocabulary last night.
Yeah, I got a couple thoughts. One of which is that sometimes in these sort of mid-season games, having young guys and people like playing above where they normally slot in, you get these great efforts where, you know, if you have your full roster, guys kind of take their foot off the gas a little bit. I thought it helped them last night having those guys because everyone stayed fully engaged and fully pushing. The other thing is, I think you forget sometimes when you watch the Maple Leafs, watching the ages of the core guys, that like they're now in their prime. And watching Willie Nylander at age 27 or 8 or whatever he is, and Marner too last night, but Nylander in particular last night, he's like he's ready for the next league if there were one above it. Like he made Alex Pietrangelo look like me on defense.
Yeah.
There's just those guys can really control games at a level that not many can.
Yeah, I think it's fun to talk about how great the young guys were and how like you got the great contributions from the defense core and Wall makes some great saves. But I mean, Nylander scores one, sets one up. Tavares has two assists. Marner has two assists. It's still the same guys.
22 minutes.
It's still the same guys driving the bus here.
Yeah.
And they were brilliant. All three of those guys last night I thought were brilliant. Marner, Tavares, and Nylander.
Tavares hit two posts. And the other thing is just their defense is so much better. Benoit was better.
Yeah.
Way better. Best game of the year for Benoit.
All right, let's get to the meat.
All right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Waited long enough.
Matthew Knies left the game with an upper body injury at 7:59. It was a huge open ice hit from Zach Whitecloud. Let's get an update from Craig Berube. Clip 9, Derek.
Not bad. I mean, still being evaluated and looked at, but actually feeling okay today, which is good news.
Good. That's great.
Okay, so I'm like everybody else. You're like everybody else. We're watching this thing, and we see it. And I got to tell you, I feel for the guys in the booth.
For sure.
Right? Whether it's Cuthbert, whether it's our good pal Simmer, whether it's Joe Bowen. Like, you may see it once or twice, but you don't have the luxury of revisiting a lot of things. Like, even, say, like our panel last night with David Amber and Sam and
Colby.
And Gaz. Colby and Gaz. Okay, so they get a chance to absorb it.
Yeah.
And whatever feelings that you could have in the first minute, minute and a half, 5 minutes, 10, 20. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, you know, I know Sam made a call to the league. He gets a pretty probably in-depth perspective or rules or whatever, and he passes it on, and then he just says whatever they said on air, and it kind of calms all the waters down.
Right.
And I've done it. I've done it. But it's easy for Sam to get on the phone.
Here's what
they said. What's hard is coming up with an opinion of your own without any type of influence, right?
Yeah.
And that's hard. We've been around the game a long time.
Mm-hmm.
My first instinct was, he's done, right? Because you see a guy down on the ice. You see one replay where he's definitely hit in the head.
Yeah.
Right? So what's our first thought? Hit to the head, maybe an illegal check. He's done. But that's not the case. It's much deeper, and it's much more complex. And I think people sat there today and said, first and foremost, do I know the rules? Do I know what the rules are according to what the league is trying to dictate, or do I just say, yeah, it's a head hit. Let's get him out of the game. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
You know, I think that there is a broad spectrum of hits when you're looking at hits to the head and hits to the body. It's not like there's some clean division. There's borderline ones, whatever. And we have to draw a line somewhere and say, this is illegal, but there's going to be hits that are right close to that line. And this one falls close to that line for me. I think I would rule the same way the league did on this particular hit.
So last night, you and JD, our good friend JD Bunkus, go on for Leaf Talk.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you had some time to absorb it, but you felt like it was a bad hit, correct?
This is what kills me about it, because I've been watching hockey my whole life, and for most of my life, that's an awesome hit. And it's one that gets you out of your seat, and that's a huge part of the game, right? And it's like, oh, it's a huge hit, open ice, bang, bang, there it is. I just think by today's standards, when you look at the way it's refereed and you look how careful they are with some of these headshots, I think for them to go to the iPad, spend 25 minutes, like I always love, looking at all these different angles and determine that the head contact wasn't severe in that play, and for the Leafs to end up on a four-minute penalty kill is a joke. Like, I truly can't believe that they spent all that time. And listen, do I think it's a horrible, do you think it's a bad, bad hit? No. But I think by today's standards and the way that the game's officiated and the way that they're trying to get the, that should have been a five-minute major match penalty. He's out of the game, and then that's good. That's done, no suspension, whatever. But
so you would rather them do that, and then the next day say we were wrong, we were too severe?
Or
would you rather, and it wasn't 25 minutes, by the way.
They were over there a while.
Okay. It wasn't 25
minutes. Yeah, but they're just, but they're freeze framing and they're the whole slowing
idea,
it down.
The whole idea is whether it's 1 minute or 25, to your exaggeration.
Yes.
Didn't we say the most important thing is to get the call right?
Yeah, and I think they didn't.
But I still haven't heard from you, did they?
Yeah, they did. They did make the right call. And listen, I'm like everybody else. I don't want to see guys get hurt. But if you, according to what they want, they don't want to get those big hits out of the game. They don't. They love them, guys. I got news for you. They love them, okay? But they have to be really tight and follow a pretty strict set of guidelines. Mm-hmm. And according to the general managers and the rules committee and the league office and everybody else, like rule 48 is fairly tight in terms of what needs to be seen. And I think it followed many of the criteria that they've asked over the last few years. And you're allowed to hit the head. Like, people, just think about that for a second. Yeah. It's not against the rules to body check.
This is not the IIHF.
The head.
Right.
As long as it's not picked.
Yes.
As long as it's not.
Like Reeves on Nurse.
Like Reeves on Nurse. And I know, JD, I didn't listen to you last night, but I saw a clip where he said, what's the difference?
It's a centimeter away from the exact same thing.
But you can argue that for sure, but it isn't.
No, it's not a centimeter. It was not even close.
He accelerated
JD,
up.
I love you, buddy.
He accelerated up into the.
Not close to Reeves.
To me, it is. And I don't know how you can watch both the hits and not have it be a similar thing.
One guy's left spinning and the other guy falls on his
back. So if Nyes gets cut and he's lying on the ice and they bring out the stretcher, then what happens?
Well, nothing. I don't think that played into it here.
Nothing. Changes.
To me, skates are on the ice until he's done with the impact. Elbows tucked. The contact is trying to go through the body and the head's involved for sure. But
it's unfortunately north-south.
Yeah.
Right?
Skating this way.
One guy's north, the other guy's south. Reeves is north. Nurse Saturday night is west. Nurse does not come through the body. Nurse misses the body and hits the head first. There's a shot where Reeves, by the time Reeves gets to the left side of Reeves' body, his head is turned right around. He looked like the owl from Winnie the Pooh. His head was so far around. I cannot believe that Reeves didn't break his neck.
Yeah.
It was ugly.
I'd like to clarify, I'm laughing at the reference, the obscure reference.
I'm sorry, I just thought of an owl, the way he can turn his neck.
Yeah.
But it was scary.
Yeah.
That was not Nyes. Nyes was right through the middle of the body, and there was no whiplash, there was nothing.
The other part of this, to me, is we're talking, you know, I started this by saying there's the spectrum of hits or whatever, and this is on that line. I'm going to read you the NHL's Department of Player Safety mission statement. To make the game as safe as possible for players while preserving the physical, competitive, and passionate nature of hockey. They, to your point, they want this. And let's be clear, on this show, we want this.
Listen, I don't want to sit here and argue with you guys because you're making great points, but I just don't know how you sit here and watch the angles of this and not have it be the principal point. The first thing he hits is his head.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. I'm watching it right here.
He's going
It can
through.
Be the first. It can't be picked.
It can. Thank you. Yeah. It is a full center of the shoulders body check. It can't be more body. Does he get his head first? It doesn't say head first on it. So if you go to Rule 48... It says that there are a set of circumstances. Whether the players attempt to hit squarely through the opponent's body and if the head was not picked as a result of poor timing. Mm-hmm. Did White Cloud have poor timing?
No.
Okay. Did he have a poor angle of approach?
No.
I mean, jumping up and throwing your elbow into his chin is not a great approach. I wouldn't say.
No, we're talking about the angle.
Okay.
Is
the angle going straight up like that? Is that a good angle?
Just angle.
You're just lying.
Angle.
I'm watching it right here.
It does, Sam, you cannot say his elbow comes up prior to his head.
Or unnecessary extension. Did you see an unnecessary extension? Where?
His arm ends up like this?
That's after contact.
After contact. Not before.
He's not extending into contact.
It was not a chicken wing. There was no space between his arm and the side of his body before contact.
Okay. I don't know what else I can say here. It's too, like, it's you guys, okay. You guys are, you know,
okay.
Reading the rule book and looking at me, and it's two against one. There's nothing I can say. But he launched his shoulder into the guy's chin while jumping off the ice with an upward motion.
I think a lot of people agree with you. I know. A lot of people agree
and
with
you. And it just, yeah. It's, you know, there's just a different standard. That hit has been, you know, it's...
If that's McCabe on White Cloud, I think it's a different conversation. I think,
sure.
You know.
Sure. Yeah. I just...
I also think that there's a lot of people that if this was somebody on the Leafs that threw the hit, they'd be like, oh, that's dirty. Get him out of the game.
For sure.
Get him. Like, there's a big-time Leafs bias here where everybody wants to go on Twitter and dunk all over the Leafs fans for being soft for one of their best young guys getting targeted, getting hammered in the head. And everybody gets so bent out of shape about anything the Leafs does. And as soon as one guy gets hit hard, oh, they're soft for thinking it's a bad hit. All this, all that. Like, it's just such a double standard when it comes to covering the Leafs. It is. Like, it just is. That's the way people feel, and it's not wrong.
You got to get George Parros on the show.
No. No. Why? Would never come on with me.
We have, buddy, what kind of producer
the show
are
has
you?
Intermittently been
what
hard
kind
on
of
him.
Producer are you?
I don't want to despise
that dude.
I don't want to talk to him. What do I have to say to him?
Oh, I think you have plenty to say.
Well, I just... Yeah, I don't think this is a suspension.
Start with what's with the Maple Leaf bias.
I don't think this is a suspension.
We have a couple of quotes on this. Why don't we start with clip two, Berube, get the coach's thoughts on what he saw.
How was Matthew, and what was your view of the hit?
Yeah, he's upper body right now. We'll see tomorrow. I think tomorrow I'll tell more. My view of the hit, I mean, it's a tough call. I'm not going to sit here and comment on the league, and, you know, they thought it was a clean hit, so it's a clean hit. I mean, there's nothing we can comment on. Really, there's nothing to say.
Well, and then we're going to have him say more.
Yeah, I don't know if you got to revisit the rule, tighten it up, but it does appear like there's upward motion, but like...
But that's coming up into it.
Totally.
Hit, isn't it?
We were taught to bend our knees...
And launch your shoulder into a guy's chin. And knock him out of the game. Good play. Good play.
I mean,
like that's, you know,
yeah,
it's
I didn't
just,
see that, Sammy. That's a, yeah. I did not
okay,
see launch.
You're not, watch,
I didn't
not watching
see
the
launch.
Same play then. Like, you're just
we
watching,
are
you're,
watching the
you're
same
doing
play.
The same thing that everybody else is doing then, where it's like, oh, it's a Leaf. Like, oh, I don't want to be seen as pro Leafs. I don't want to be seen as this. I don't want to be seen as that. And everybody just takes the opportunity to run around and be like, oh, you know, that's a good hit. That's a good hit. Meanwhile, if Nyes did that, they'd be like, kick him out of the league. He'd be suspended for 6 games. Everybody'd be pissed off at him for being a dirtbag. It's the truth.
There's a Leaf double standard is the case. I don't know if that's true or not.
I think
here.
It's all through coverage. Yeah. I think anywhere you cover the league, there's a double standard with the Leafs.
Well,
where people
night,
don't want to be seen.
Last night you got Cuthbert, Simpson. They both thought it was a bad hit.
Yeah.
Gaz, after the was on Sports Central saying bad hit.
Yeah.
You know, there
Joe
are,
Bowen and Ralphie thought it was a bad hit.
Yeah.
We do not agree.
But every I just have to go through and see every ex-player being like, why is this even a topic? Why is this even a topic? Oh, it's an idiot. You're soft. This and that. It's like.
We do have another Berube on this. Is there anything there?
It's just more of the same.
More of the same.
Quite honestly.
I don't know how we can ask the guys to body check and not think at some point the head's going to come into contact.
Do we have the hit? Can
and this
we
is
show
what breaks,
the hit?
We could show the hit, but this is what breaks my heart about it. Because I've gone through, like, he jumps up into the chin.
We're all seeing what we want to see, right? Like, it's to me, that's right between his shoulders, lands on his back.
So, that is as
which
square,
makes for great radio.
As square north south as you can get.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
And listen, I don't want to pile on here, but I've watched Matthew Nyes since he's come in on a number of occasions.
Yeah.
And we've had these conversations, and you have too, Sammy, where it's like, he's lucky he didn't get hurt there.
Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of what saved him is that he's a giant. And that happened to be the White Cloud's
guess
a giant,
what?
Too.
You can get away in college being a giant, but you can't get away in the NHL like that. Eventually, it catches up to you. I don't know. It's not that his head was down. He's just looking.
He knows he's there. He just doesn't think that hit's going to get thrown.
He's looking at the space where either he thinks he's going to get the puck through or he's going to skate through. But he had blinders on.
Yep. And just like Reeves on Saturday. Reeves and Nurse on Saturday night. The exact same situation where he had blinders on too. Coming around the net with his head down. It's the same thing.
Oof, I don't see the comparison.
I think Nyes is worse, putting themselves in the situation. But the angles are different. So that was more out of a blind side. Like there's a blind spot I think Nurse had on Reeves. There's no blind side for Nyes. He's right in front. You're just not focused in the right areas, and you got hit hard because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Let's
hope he's okay, but I hope it's also a learning lesson for Matthew Nyes.
Go ahead, finish your thought.
The last thing I'll say on this is that ultimately, I don't think this is a war crime. Like, I don't think it's the worst hit that I've ever seen. But by today's standard, midway through a game, I think a guy could have got thrown out of a game for that.
And Simone, that's almost exactly what Gazdik said. Just like throw him out of the game in that case.
I hate that.
Why?
That bugs me. Because it's like you want to play safe. No, get the call right. That's what we changed things for, to get it right. Not for you just to bypass it because it makes you feel better.
Well,
get it right.
Well, yeah.
The right call was made.
Yeah, I don't agree.
It's okay.
Yeah.
You know,
all the people on the text line saying you're arguing with two former NHLers about how they wouldn't know what a hit is. People are killing me for it. But guess what?
This is the way the general managers and the players want it, Sammy. Okay? Not you or everybody else who says what you're saying.
Mm.
It's their sport. It's their rules. We're just interpreting it. That's all.
Okay.
And you don't agree with them.
I don't.
So lobby to change the rules.
I'm not going to do that.
Ever. You want the hits.
I want the hits. But I just, you know, by today's...
You know what that's called? Having your cake and eat it too, my friend.
But by today's standards, flying elbow to the chops probably should be the rest of the game.
All right. Well,
standards?
All right. You're
making standards up.
But I mean, I watch guys get thrown out of games for headshots in this league. Like, they talk about not wanting concussions and all that stuff. And anyways.
Okay.
We have
sufficient yelling?
Sufficient yelling for today.
Good.
We have Simone Benoit, who jumps in after that hit. Grabs White Cloud and kind of, gave him the business a little bit. I thought Benoit was back to being the Benoit of last year for them last night. That sort of play makes me wonder if Hakanpaa is even going to be the answer. I don't know what you guys thought of having him jump in after that, but the standing up for a guy after a borderline hit.
I didn't have an issue with anybody last night. And... you know, when I'm starting to see John Tavares grab guys and throw them on the ice, I'm like...
God, didn't you just want to go a bit
further
there? Hey,
JT.
Luckily, I wear this magical amulet.
Would have been nice to see that a few times when you had the C on.
Maybe he's freed up. Freed up his left a little bit.
I got to say, the captain's over even bratwurst. I mean, this guy's the captain.
He had a night last night. He was
awesome.
Yeah, he's
been effective. He jumps in, he's grabbing guys. I was like, okay.
What a strange one, too. OEL launches the guy into the boards. Tavares
who was that guy that just went swan diving the second he felt any contact? Who was that? 21? Maybe Howden. But no, I am super impressed with how... like, remember after that Boston game last year? When was it Liljegren that got taken into the boards by Marchand?
Yeah, and we did the game, and Kip went on the air and talked about not liking the...
and how no one responded, and then Keith went out in the media and talking about how we're going to have a meeting to talk about how to respond about these things.
Did.
Remember that?
I do.
And now it's just like, it's just happens.
Yeah.
And what is that? Is that I don't know. Is the coach? I don't know if it's that.
And when it's all said and done, outside of like anything that happened, that in itself is probably the thing that stood out most, is that the game got a lot more physical, a lot more emotional after the Nyes, and the Leafs were very comfortable playing in that environment.
Mm-hmm. It's a big boy game.
Right?
A lot of physicality.
Before we go to break, let's listen to clip 7, Berube talking about this team toughness without Ryan Reeves.
I know, Revo's not in, and Max isn't in, but, guys, they didn't shy away from it. You know, I thought that we initiated early with the physicality, and, they're a physical team, too. They're a big team, but we didn't shy away from it.
No, they did not. Okay, catch your breath time, Sammy.
Yeah. God, I'm getting...
still love us? Still love us?
Text.
Oh, my God.
We still friends?
I'm just taking a beating.
Will we golf?
This show rules.
By April, will we golf again?
I love this. Why do you think I do this? Like, there's nothing you can say to me that hasn't already been said, boys.
All right, if that's the case, plenty more to get into with Sammy after the break. You're watching and listening to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in to our Leaf Edition Hour of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick, Justin, Sammy.
Got
in.
What a contentious week on the show.
Out with bad air. In with good air. Out with bad air, Sammy.
I'm good, bud. I love it. I love it.
What are your buds telling you?
Oh, I'm just trying not to look at the text. Yes. Somebody sent me a tweet. I don't know who it is. Put your diaper on, bud, with a big clown.
Oh my gosh. Somebody sent me like rule 0.76 on head contact, and I'm like,
Is that Hockey Canada?
Is that minor hockey?
Not the NHL.
Listen, I saw
whatever
that.
I don't think it's relevant.
I saw it, and I was going to bring it. I was going to like, I need this bad today. And it's not the
it's
right
not
rule.
NHL. It's not the NHL, pal. I'm sorry.
It's not the right rule.
Everybody, it's rule 48.
Yeah.
Mm. We all know that.
We do.
Because we've seen it 1,000 times.
Yeah,
well, I shouldn't say that.
Not anymore.
Outside of Trouba, like, how many guys? See, the one thing I can tell you, and you've been at a very high level too, like, those hits are really hard. They're hard to make.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got to be timed incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a certain amount of time and space that you have to pull them off.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're wrong, you can get hurt just as bad, or even worse, you can be embarrassed beyond belief.
Yeah, once you commit to one of those and someone suddenly shifts spots, you're like, yeah, you can.
You're cooked.
Yeah.
So they don't. They aren't happening very often.
Yeah.
No comment.
Let's. How about a very big story from the game last night, Joseph Woll?
Yes. Sammy was wrong again yesterday.
tough week.
Right? I love it.
That's great. But Woll, I mean, what did he make, 30 saves last night, give or take?
Yeah, he's up there.
I can probably find that stat immediately.
Second career shutout.
31 saves.
And second career shutout. So let's get, what clip is it off of Joseph Woll?
Yeah, he was excellent. Like, I mean, the second period, they made a pretty good push there, and they had control of the play quite a bit in our zone. I thought we were a little, pushed back at that time, but he came up big for us, and that's big. You know, it keeps you in the game, and then our third period was excellent.
Yeah. So Woll now goes to a .922 save percentage. Stolar is at a .927. Boys, going into this year, did you think you'd have, two top 10 goalies in the NHL by save percentage?
Zero chance.
Zero.
These two tendies.
I thought maybe one.
Yeah.
Right? I thought Joe Woll would probably be in that range. They made the $11 million contract commitment to him. You think that they think he's a pretty good goalie.
Yeah.
Despite his injury history. But Stolar is the real surprise. But yeah, this now, you look at it, is a real advantage for the first time probably in the Matthews era.
Yeah, I think it was you who said it to me good. That stood out was not only do you feel like you can hang with the other team, but like it's actually a leg up.
Yeah.
Like you go into the game being like, all right, we've got that position over them. So
listen, it's a nice feeling to think that you can be outplayed and still have a great chance to win.
Yeah.
And there's only one guy I can really pull that off, and that's your goalie.
Well, and last night, shots are, what, 26-12 at one point when the Leafs are up 1-0? Like, I don't remember exactly what they were when it was really lopsided, but, you know, he kept them in there when it wasn't going their way. What are your thoughts on how much the goaltending's success has to do with the changes on D, with actual different personnel in front of them?
Well, the block shots are off the charts, and yeah. Tanev's going to set a record.
Well, they have 26 last night?
Like,
is that right?
It's huge.
Jeez.
Yeah.
He commented on that somewhere along the way, too, but he noticed, he mentioned Steven Lorenz. We actually have Lorenz talking about that on his Shot Blocks clip one.
Yeah, three times. Yeah, over the, two in the same shift. But yeah, I was channeling my inner Timmy Brent there with a few blocks. But it definitely didn't feel too good. But it's always worth it when when the guys come through and you have a big 3-0 win, a shutout for Wohler. So it was just a good team effort all around.
Tim Brent.
I have to say, him referencing Tim Brent is the most passionate thing anyone's ever done for the Wolves.
Is that like mid-2000s?
Tim Brent, number 37.
What way did he shoot?
Oof. Good question. Maybe left, actually.
Right.
Right? Crap.
You got it.
Right.
Here, I'm doing a quick search here. Kipper's correct. Right shot. He's my age.
I remember he shot right.
But there was one particular play that he was referencing, and this is stuff I remember, but I think it was against Carolina, and it was a 5-on-3, and Tim Brent was the only guy out there, the only forward, and he was like flying around like a goalie, and he must have blocked 5 shots on one shift.
Right. So Tim Brent played...
He's not Gregory Campbell.
It was like that without territory. Without a broken leg, basically.
He played 1 year. He played for the... One game for the Leafs in 09-10 and 79 for the Leafs in 10-11, scoring 8 and 12 for 20 points.
You know, it's going to be interesting for me in the next week is, again, lighter schedule, mm-hmm. Yeah. Utah Sunday, at Florida Wednesday. Mm. So tell me, Wall Sunday, Stolarz Wednesday, or Stolarz Sunday and Stolarz Wednesday? Because I'm not sure I want Joseph Wall not playing again in a week.
God, Stolarz's last game was November 16th. Today's the 21st. So now you're talking about the 24th and presumably, what is it, 26th or 7th or something like that?
Well, give me a call here.
I want Stolarz back in the net. He needs to get back in. So he's playing on Sunday. And then, yeah, you're going to Wall in Florida.
Weathervane McKee here, but guy gets a shutout. You probably have to start him the next game, no?
I don't know. It depends if you got the zoomed out view of just trying to keep everyone going.
But Stolarz Wednesday, no question, regardless of what happens against his former team. That has to happen. That's a start. That's a start. He's got that start. See, you need to give him that start.
I tend to agree with Sam that it would be nice if you have to start separating yourself for the Leafs.
In the division. Oh, you can't start pressing for wins now.
No. I'm not saying that you need to press for wins, but what I'm saying is that if you want to win the division, start with beating the team that you think you need to beat.
Ah, prioritize the Wednesday. Okay, I'm in.
Are you following me?
I'm actually sold. Between... him having played this being your direct competition, Stolarz is on Wednesday. Under
different circumstances, I would say if you need to go Stolarz on Sunday and then back to Wall Wednesday, no problem. Except you want to beat them.
But this
you want to win the division.
This all lines up perfectly. Because to Sam's point, guy gets a shutout. Really, it's not hockey night in Canada. It's a Sunday against Utah. You give him the next game, say keep going. Stolarz then is 11 days between games, which might sound scary, but he was a backup goalie forever. He's gone long times between games and was wonderful as a backup.
So you can go Wall and then Stolarz Wednesday.
Yeah. I thought that the start on Sunday night was a Wall start anyway. Mm. That's kind of your 1B kind of start, backup kind of start. So you give him that one and then go into Wednesday. But it's a real luxury here, fellas. Like Wall last night gave me... Game 5-6 vibes.
God, he was so good in those games.
And it just, when he's on, it's so, so boring. Mm-hmm. Like, him and Stolarz have such different styles. Like, I'm no goalie expert. I'm not Valiquette. But Wall is just hits him, stops, not sliding around, not flying around. Just very solid, very good positionally. Mm-hmm. And when he's on, it looks really easy. And last night, it looked easy.
Did we play the Berube clip or am I?
On Wall?
Yeah.
We did.
I don't see it.
The Kipper's rubbing off on anybody.
Buddy, I took some head hits too. I was on the other end of a lot of Matthew Nye's hits. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Anybody get kicked out of the game for him?
They got ejected from life. Actually, back when I played,
I was
highly encouraged.
Yeah.
Why do we have a clip on the convenience store 7-Eleven?
Oh, I meant to put 11-7 potential.
This is like asking your mom what the score is, and she says it's 0-2.
It was not by me, okay? I'm just taking a peek. And I still got to do this read, and I'm just like, man. You guys
you
are going
to do the read today?
No, I'll do it.
No. I've challenged him.
You have
to be better.
That's good. Sometimes you need that. Grab him by the collar
to feed the kids.
We got not much time. Several clips. What do you want to hear? Do you want to hear 11-7? You want to talk Matthews?
Let's just hear the quick two quick Matthews updates.
All right, 12, please.
Like I said, I think everything went well. Like he's actually improving and in a real good spot right now going forward. So we're very happy with that.
And the 13, the second one.
Ever since when he might skate again?
I still don't know that. Maybe this weekend.
We had our Sheldon Keefe waffling drop. Can that be our new Berube?
I guess.
Why didn't they ask, is he back? Is he back? That would be the question. Is he here?
He's back.
He's back.
They went to Reeves to get a comment on him and they shut him down and said he's unavailable till his suspension ends.
Reeves?
And Reeves said to them, I'll see you in 2.5 weeks.
Where'd he go?
Well, he can't talk to the media.
Yeah, but where did he go? Did he leave? Like, is it he'll see you in 2.5 weeks or talk to the media?
But we don't have to be there every day like a lot of these guys. Get their frustration on not... To Sammy's point on being so coy with Matthews and not making Reeves available to even discuss, where he's at and what he thought of the hit. And it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard for some of the media to think that they've got a story they can't get to.
One thought on Matthews and his potential return. If I'm him, looking down the schedule and going, could be back on the Wednesday and I get to Florida.
No, I'm good.
I'm like, you know what? I might be better just a few days later than
Tampa. Tampa next Saturday night. That's
just
a perfect
return. Just not really looking to play Sam Bennett my first game back.
You guys good for me to read?
Yes.
Great all right. For you to read.
Good luck.
Here we go now. Who wants to win a bunch of cash while doing the best this holiday season? It's the Sportsnet 590 The Fan's 50-50 fortune supporting food for kids. Here's what you need to know. We've created a 50-50 lottery where the more money we raise, the more kids we can feed in the GTA, and the more you can win. The current take-home prize is $171,000. Mm-hmm. Someone is going to win that jackpot on Thursday, December 19th. And if you get your tickets early, there are a bunch of amazing early bird prizes, including a pair of tickets to Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour, this Saturday night, courtesy of Rogers. Get your tickets by Friday at 9 a.m. for your chance to win. For more details and to buy your tickets, go to foodforkids5050.ca or text the word cash to 590-590 and we'll send the link right to your phone. It's the 50-50 fortune supporting Food for Kids. Standard message and data rates apply. Ontario only.
Was that flawless?
Way to go, Sam.
Unbelievable. No, there's a couple flaws.
Much, much better,
smooth,
my friend.
Smooth.
It's really important.
Smooth.
That we end this on a positive.
You guys got to build me up.
No, you're good.
You guys got to build me
good.
Up.
We'll get Dr. Dana Sinclair to build you up.
Yeah, that's
on
great.
The National Hour.
Got a performance coach coming.
And performance coach.
And you guys will be thrilled to know that our Sportsnet 590 The Fan X account just tweeted out the debate of us talking about Nye's hit from White Cloud.
Yeah.
So we'll
get
see
ready
on the other
to
side.
Mute that one too. Good job to our social team.
Thanks, all guys.
That'll be fun.
Okay.
Do you think Matthews comes back when? What games do you want to come back?
It doesn't matter. They don't need him. Take your time.
I actually think they're them winning and does rolling. Help him. I wonder if they were losing how. If he'd be back.
41-20-2 with a 50+58 goal differential without Austin Matthews.
All right.
The update.
Amen.
Our thanks to Sammy McKee this hour for taking it on the chin.
Someone's got to represent the other side.
Dr. Dana Sinclair will join us. She's going to get into our heads.
We all need help.
We really need help. Bad. And Gary Galley, it's the National Hour coming up next on Real Kipper and Bourne. Do not go away.